Well, folks, we've been talking a lot about the decline of religion in America and its absolutely deleterious effect on the American body politics, on citizenship, on our children. Joining us on the line to discuss is Bishop Robert Barron. He's bishop of the Diocese of Winona, Rochester, in Minnesota, and the founder of Word on Fire Catholic Ministries. You've seen him on the show before. He has a brand new book out also called Light from Light, a study on the Nicene Creed. And he's here to discuss what for Christians is Holy Week. Bishop Barron, thanks so much for joining the show. Really appreciate it.
Ben, good to be with you as always.
So let's talk, obviously, about where we are in the calendar for Christians. Now, we're living in a pretty dark time. It feels as though a lot of biblical values have been completely abandoned or lost. And it seems like people are confused, even in many religious circles, about what to believe. What should the big takeaways for Christians be this Holy Week?
God's love is more powerful than anything that's in the world. God's love is more powerful than death itself. So the message of the Triduum, we call it, the 3 days from Holy Thursday, Good Friday, Holy Saturday, is that God has gone all the way to the limits of God-forsakenness, even into our sin, even into our rebellion, even into death itself. And in the resurrection shows that his love is greater than anything that's in the world. So it's the shalom of the risen Christ to his disciples, the great hope of all of Israel for peace in the fullest possible sense is offered by the risen Christ to his followers. And that's the message of Christianity up and down the ages, is the shalom of the Creator God, because he's more powerful than anything that's in the world. I think that's the message of Easter.
And one of the things that we are seeing right now is sort of this twofold divide that's happening in the American body politic with regard to religion. And both of them are a problem. One of them is obviously the complete abandonment of religion. The amount of secularization of American society mm-hmm. is truly disturbing. Fewer people than ever going to church. Fewer people than ever going to synagogue. I mean, that is obviously having deleterious effects. The other thing that we're seeing is the abuse of religion by, again, I think sometimes both sides of the political aisle in order to push forward a political agenda. In what way should people properly approach their religious practice and their creed when it comes to bringing that creed to the world?
Well, I think what you said first is extremely important. There's a tight correlation, I think, between the disaffiliation from religion and these spiking numbers we've seen, especially in young people, of depression, anxiety, suicidal tendencies. You know, the new atheist appeared, what, about 20 years ago? And the message of, you know, we come from nothing, we go back to nothing, there's no objective meaning, life is without purpose. Well, young people took that in. And believe me, they were evangelized by these people. They were very effective evangelists for their perspective. Young people took it in and all right, you know, in your face to religion. But what's the upshot of that? A completely nihilistic view of life. Of course, numbers of depression, anxiety, and suicide are spiking. Of course they are. So that's the very existential consequence of disaffiliation from religion. So first of all of us religious people, I think, have to redouble our efforts to announce the word of the Lord to the world. And there is a hunger for it. I know that's a bit of a cliche, but I'm with St. Augustine. You know, our hearts are restless till they rest in God. And that's grounded in the Psalms in the Old Testament. So only in God is my soul at rest. Well, we know that at some profound level. And the religions, I think, to some degree, have lost confidence in ourselves. We've been pandering too much to the society. No, we've got the message of eternal life. We have the message that will lift up people's hearts and give them satisfaction at the deepest level. So we should redouble our efforts. We should have a new confidence in our proclamation. To your second point, that's been true from the beginning, isn't it? I mean, religion has been abused by bad people. They've used it precisely in the wrong way. The purpose of religion is always to bring us together, because whatever links you to God links you to that power which is here and now creating the whole world. So the closer I get to God, the closer I get to you and to everybody else. And even look at St. Francis, brother, sun, sister, moon. So a keen sense of our fellowship even with all of creation. So whenever religion is used to divide us or to foment violence or hatred, it's ipso facto at war with itself. We can't proclaim Christ as the Prince of Peace and be fomenting violence at the same time.
You know, one of the things that's really fascinating to me is there's been this attitude that's been taken up that I think is quite troublesome, that because in response to the sort of secularization of religion, the wiping out of traditional religion,
yeah.
that the response to that, which again, should be a confident declaration of religious principle. I, as a Jew, have not only no problem with people saying, for example, Christ is king. I think that that's a good thing for Christians to say. I want Christians to do that because I think that for American society, more people need to declare who are Christian that Christ is king and go back to church. And frankly, as a Jew, I'm flattered that you care enough about my soul that you wish me to become one of you. That's a lot better than it has been historically, where people were coming after people like me with a sword and forcing conversion or forcing death. You know, that is all not only fine, that is wonderful for me. But what you are seeing very often is people now taking messages that I think are very good for Christians and that I would hope that Christians would promulgate. And instead, they're using that as a weapon politically against people that they don't like.
Yeah. And, you know, the kingship of Christ is very interesting because a lot of Christian proclamation is ironic in a way. So the very fact that the first evangelist is Pontius Pilate, who puts on the cross of Jesus the sign, you know, Jesus Nazarenus Rex Judaeorum, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. And he puts it in the three languages of that time and place, in Greek and Hebrew as well. And so he means it as a bit of mockery, but in fact, it makes him the first evangelist. He's declaring to the world the kingship of Jesus. Paul takes him up on that. So St. Paul had been Rabbi Shaul and knew all the great traditions of Judaism, saw Jesus as the fulfillment of the hope of Israel, and therefore said, Jesus Kyrios in his Greek. Jesus Christ is Lord. Well, that's a way of saying Jesus Christ is King. But see, mind you, as we look at Christ King with the sign of Pontius Pilate over his head, he's on the cross, which means he's stripped of worldly power. He's not reigning as another Caesar, as a rival Caesar. He's a qualitatively different kind of king. Indeed, all things are meant to be brought under his aegis, including the political order. That's true. He's the Lord of all things, but he's Lord in a qualitatively different manner. He's not one more worldly king fighting against the standard worldly kings. He's this Prince of Peace, as we say, the one who offers shalom, who does indeed battle Caesar, but not with the weapons of the world. He battles Caesar with the weapons of God's forgiveness and compassion and mercy. The Jesus who shows his wounds to his disciples, look what the world did to me. That's true. We see our sin in the cross. But then shalom, peace. God's love is greater than anything that's in the world. That's his kingship. So in the measure that it's being used to divide and to foment hatred, and as you say, it has been misused over the centuries in a violent way. That's always repugnant to the deepest purpose of Christianity.
So one of the things that you've been talking about a lot is the what you call the re-Judaization of Christian learning and Christian faith, the reconnection with the Old Testament, because after all, Jesus was a Jew, and not only was a Jew, was a practicing Jew. So obviously this week, it very often the Hebrew calendar correlates with the non-Hebrew calendar, with the secular calendar. Yeah. It doesn't this year because of a weird kind of quirk in the Jewish calendar. So usually Passover, Pesach, and Easter fall during the same exact time period. Mm-hmm. They happen not to this year. But obviously, when you're celebrating Holy Week, one of the things that you're celebrating is historically Passover, because the Last Supper was, of course, a Passover dinner.
Right. And you won't get anything about Jesus without getting the Old Testament. As you know, Paul said, he's the yes to all the promises made to Israel. That means if you don't get Israel, you won't get him. And one of the problems, Ben, I think we've talked about before, is when you divorce Jesus from Judaism, he turns into a teacher of timeless truth. He turns into a bland sort of moral exemplar. And that's what the liberal culture often wants him to be. He becomes a rather harmless figure. I can take him or leave him. You know, oh, he's very interesting, but so is Confucius. And so are, you know, but the Jesus who is grounded in Israel, who comes up out of Israel and is appreciated by the first Christians as the fulfillment of Israel, fulfillment of temple and Torah and prophecy, covenant. So when Jesus says at the Last Supper, you know, this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, well, he's citing Jeremiah 31:31. The days are coming when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, and I will write my law on their hearts. Well, see, we Christians tonight, as I record these words, it's Holy Thursday, and we celebrate the Eucharist. So what Jesus established that night, giving us his body and blood, and we eat his body and drink his blood, what's happening? The Torah is coming inside of us. The law is being written now in our hearts. Well, you won't get any of that unless you're averring to the Old Testament. And the readings I'm preparing for the liturgy tonight, they immerse us in that. the first reading, it's all about Passover. It's all about the temple. It's all about covenant sacrifice and so on. Without that, you won't get Jesus. You'll make him a bland figure.
Well, that's Bishop Robert Barron. Go check out all of his work over at Word on Fire Catholic Ministries and check out his new book, Light from Light, A Study on the Nicene Creed. Bishop Barron, really appreciate the time and the insight.
God bless you. Thanks, Ben.
All righty, folks, we've reached the end of the show. We'll be back here tomorrow with much more. I'm Ben Shapiro. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
Introducing two new and improved Jeremy's Razors. Fighting the left and building the future means constantly bringing your best, and that's exactly what Jeremy's Razors is doing. Choose between the new and improved Precision 5 Razor for an exceptionally smooth and close shave, or the brand new Sprint 3 Razor for a quick, clean shave. The new razors feature top-to-bottom redesign. Enjoy an ergonomic handle designed for superior durability. The new coated stainless steel blades are sharper, so they last longer. Increased flexibility allows the razor to better contour to your face to reduce nicks and cuts. Plus, the lubricating strip is now equipped with argan oil and aloe. It's time to toss out that woke razor and get yourself a Precision 5 or Sprint 3 trial kit today. Pledge to fight the left and build a future with Jeremy's Razors. Go to jeremysrazors.com and order yours today.
We'll get to more on this in just one moment. First, $20 barely gets you anything these days. You can't even fill your gas tank or get a burger and fries for less than $20. But do you know what $20 will get you? From the cell phone company I use, Pure Talk, you can get unlimited talk, text, and plenty of 5G data for just $20 a month. Pure Talk gives you the same quality of service as your current cell phone provider, but for half the cost. The average family saves almost $1,000 a year, all with no contracts and no activation fees. You can switch to Pure Talk and keep the phone and phone number you currently use, or you can take advantage of their great deals on the latest iPhones and Androids, making the switch incredibly easy. Their U.S. customer service team can help you join Pure Talk in as little as 10 minutes. Choose to spend your hard-earned money with a wireless company that shares your values, supports our military and veterans, creates American jobs, and refuses to advertise on those fake news networks. So stop spending a ridiculous amount of money on your phone plan. Go to puretalk.com/Shapiro right now. My listeners can get an additional 50% off their very first month of coverage. That's puretalk.com/Shapiro. Again, start saving money on your phone plan today with people who actually like you. Go to puretalk.com/Shapiro and start saving.